Let me see if I can do something today with the subject of faith. I don't think there's anybody out there listening that's not interested in faith. I want to deal with four or five things. Number one, the object of faith. What is the object of saving faith? And then secondly, the foundation of faith, the ground of faith. On what authority do we preach and believe what we believe? And then I want to look at the results of faith. And then last of all, the evidence of faith. Now in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, listen to what Paul says. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for that gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in the gospel is the very righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from one degree of faith to another, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And do you know that's written in the Word of God four times? The just shall live by faith. We find it in Habakkuk, find it here in Romans 1, you'll find it over in Galatians 3, you'll find it in Hebrews 10:38. The just shall live by faith. Now I know what that's saying. Do you know what that's saying? The just shall live by faith. Well, let's break it down. The just. Our Lord was called the just one, but we know it's not talking about Him here. He doesn't live by faith. We're talking about the justified. The just shall live by faith, that is, the innocent. A man who's just is innocent. He's not guilty. He's justified, therefore he's not guilty. And yet, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, there's not a just man upon the earth, not one, who doeth good and sinneth not. There is not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. And yet four times in the Word of God it says the just shall live by faith, and Solomon comes along and says there's not any. There's not any. And Job asked the question three or four times, how can man be just with God? How can he be just, justified, who's born of a woman who drinks iniquity like the water? Then if there's not a just man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not, then who are these just people, these who are justified, these who are innocent? Well, they're those people who've been justified by God. Romans 8:33 says it's God that justifieth. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. God justified them. They're justified because God justified them. That's what it says. Romans 8:30, what does it say? Whom he predestinated, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. So these who are justified, the just, the not guilty, the innocent, the justified shall live by faith. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, he names all sorts of sins, sins of men and women. I mean terrible sins. And then he comes up to this verse in verse 11 and he says, and such were some of you. That's what you were. But you're washed, you're sanctified, you're just. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. We're justified. Who are these just? The just shall live by faith. Who are they? The ones God justified. Not the ones who claim they're justified, but the ones whom God actually justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His Almighty Spirit. And notice next, it says the just shall live. Shall live. Live. Scripture says in Adam all die. All die. It's appointed unto every man wants to die. Everybody's got to die. And here this is talking about, he says, the just, of which Solomon said there aren't any, shall live. And the Word of God says they're all going to die. But this is a miracle of God. This is something God does. This is something man can't do any more than the Ethiopian can change his skin or the leopard his spots. But God can do it. And we're justified by God. And it says here we're going to live. The Bible says death passed upon all men. It's appointed unto all men to die. Well, who is this group of people who will live? Well, number one, listen to it. They live spiritually because they're born of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God, which were born not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, but they're born of God. They live, the just shall live, because God quickens them by his Spirit from their deadness spiritually in Adam. And then they not only shall live spiritually, but they'll live daily, walking not by sight, but by faith. Now are we sons of God. And not only that, but they're going to live eternally. The just, justified by God, shall live spiritually, live now, and live eternally. Christ said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And because I live, they live. And Revelation 21 says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he'll dwell with them, and they'll be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there'll be what? No more death. They'll live. Those whom God has justified in the name of his beloved Son, by the power of his great and mighty Spirit, shall live. Now watch this, and here's where I'm coming to the subject of faith. The just shall live by faith. By faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith we have peace with God. And Romans 3:28, Paul says, after going over the lives of the pagan Gentiles and the religious Jews, he said, therefore, I conclude that a man is justified by faith, faith alone, without the deeds of the law. And for his illustration, he uses Abraham. He says, Abraham believed God. He believed God and he lived. He believed God and he was justified. He believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He believed God, and he was called the father of the faithful. He believed God, and they said the seed, Christ, would come through Abraham. He believed God. He believed. Now then, what is this faith that justifies? We're justified by faith. What is this faith that saves? What is this faith that brings us into a living union with Christ, like the vine and the branch, like the head and the body? What is this faith that brings us into a vital union with the Son of God, whereby that we're seated with him in the heavenlies? Well, I believe I can give you four things that will be most helpful to you. It's helpful to me, and it will help you to understand this faith that justifies. Now, here's the first point. The object of faith. The object of faith's got to have an object. And the object of saving faith, now listen to me, the object of saving faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. I say that without compromising or hedging or explaining. It's Christ. Christ Jesus. He is the object of saving faith. Now, I know that salvation is the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Lord our God is three in one, one God. But the chief object of saving faith is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We believe the Father who chose us and purposed our redemption. We believe the Holy Spirit who quickened us, who's our comforter and teacher. But the object of faith is Christ. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. His person and his work. And then I know that true salvation will produce works. It'll produce works of faith and labor of love. But I tell you this, he who looks in any measure to his works or to his labor or depends in any way upon his deeds for salvation will perish. Christ is the sole object of saving faith. The hymn writer put it this way, my faith hath found a resting place, not in device or creed. I trust the ever-living Christ. His wounds for me shall plead. And I need no other argument. I need no other plea. Jesus Christ lived and Jesus Christ died for me. I know that salvation's an experience. I know it's an experience of joy and peace. But my friends, we must not, we will not, we cannot look to our experiences or to our feeling, only to Christ for all things. For he, listen to this, of God are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All I need is in Christ. Listen to this verse. This is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's not in a dream or an experience or a decision or a feeling. It's in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, Christ Jesus the Lord was cursed. He bore the curse of the law. He endured the curse of the law. He bore the wrath of God in our place. And it's by his sacrifice and obedience that we're made whole. Saving faith at all times, under every circumstance, looks to Christ and Christ alone. How do we look to Christ? Well, listen to this briefly. We look to him as God. He's not lesser God. He's God. He's equal with God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's very God of very God. Though he's the God-man, he's still God. He has all preeminence and all power. He said, all power and authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in Isaiah 9:6, the prophet called him in the same breath, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And yet he called him a son given and a child born. That's the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in human flesh. So faith looks to Christ. That's the sole object of saving faith. It's Christ. Christ is God. Christ is our representative. Christ is our righteousness. He was made sin for us who knew no sin in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He suffered the just for the unjust, literally to bring us to God. He's our righteousness, and we look to him as our high priest. We have a high priest. The priesthood is not denied. Christ said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I came to fulfill it, to fulfill it. And Christ is our Sabbath fulfilled. Christ is our circumcision fulfilled. Christ is our priesthood fulfilled. And those things are set aside. He taketh away the first and establisheth the second. He is our high priest. We have a high priest. We have a sacrifice. We have a mercy seat. We have a Passover. Christ is our Passover. It's not a newer way of saving men. God saves men by Christ who fulfills all the promises and purposes and patterns and types. Do you see that? Christ, we look to him as our justifier. We're justified because we're in him, and in him there is no sin. And we look to him as our king. So, my friends, the object of this faith that saves, the just shall live by faith, the object of faith is Christ Jesus the Lord. I find in him all I need. And my church membership and church family and works of faith and labor of love and all these other things are but things that I enjoy in my relationship with Him, and they're motivated by my relationship with Him. He's the sole object of my faith. He's our first love. And that's what He said to Peter sitting by the fire there. He said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Well, you know all things. You know I love you." He said, "Well, then feed my sheep. If you love me, you'll feed my sheep." Now, secondly, the foundation of faith. Now, listen carefully. I'm trying to help. I know there are multitudes of people who are hollering, "Believe, believe," but they're not telling me what to believe. They're saying, "Look," but they're not telling me to whom. To whom? And they're saying, "Well, just trust." Well, trust whom? What'd He do? Why'd He do it? Where is He now? Can He be trusted? Does He have somewhat to offer? Will God accept him? Be awful to trust your salvation into the hands of someone that God didn't ordain and God didn't accept and with whom God won't do business. All right, we preach that God, listen, we preach that God in mercy. Now here's the foundation of faith. The foundation of faith. I preach that God in mercy and grace will forgive sin. God will forgive sin. God will pardon the chief of sinners. On what authority do I say that? Did I just get that out of the air somewhere? Is that what you learned in school? Or on what authority do you make a promise like that? "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Where do you get things like that, preacher? On what authority? We preach that God sent His Son, God Himself, in the person of His Son, came into this world as a propitiation, a sin offering, a mercy seat, a covering for sin. And we say, "Come to Christ and be healed, be made whole of whatever need." On what authority? On what authority? Well, you might as well, you know, if you don't have any authority, you're about like that fellow that says, "Sit cross-legged in a cave and God will take you to heaven. Lie down on a bed of spikes and God will take you to heaven. Crawl on your knees across the stone floor and burn a candle in the window and God will take you to heaven." On what authority? And that's what I'm asking here. When we preach there's life and eternal glory for all who look to Christ, all who believe Christ, all who rest in Christ, and I say, on what authority? Well, my answer is this. The Word of God. The Word of God. The foundation of faith is the Word of God. Not a feeling or an experience or a tradition or a custom or the old church fathers or what you think or I think. There's a way that seemeth right unto men, and the end is death and destruction. The book, this book is the foundation of faith. It says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And I'm telling you this, I know enough about God's Word. Not much, but I know enough about it to know that the theme of the entire book is redemption in Jesus Christ. That's the theme of that book from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation. The theme is redemption. The mercy of God in redeeming sinners in Jesus Christ. Listen to Acts 10:43. "To Him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness." Who are the prophets? Moses, David, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Jeremiah. Oh, Solomon, these are the prophets. "And to Christ give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission, forgiveness of sin." By believing Christ. That's what that whole Moses said that. Christ said, "Moses wrote of me." What did Moses write? The first five books of the Bible. And in his first five books he talked about the seed of woman. He talked about the Passover lamb. He talked about the smitten rock. He talked about the ark of Noah. He talked about the brazen serpent. He talked about the bread from heaven. He built the tabernacle with its priesthood, with its table of showbread and its altar of incense and its ark of the covenant overlaid with gold, the cherubims and the Shekinah glory and the atonement. That's all Moses wrote of Christ. That's Christ in all those. those pictures. I've been writing a series of Sunday school lessons on preaching Christ from the Old Testament. I've written 63 of them already. I've just got to the book of Psalms, working on the Psalms now. And I've found so many, many pictures of Christ our Lord in the Old Testament. And I wish there's some way that I could impress on you the importance of searching the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. We have no warrant to believe anything if we don't find it in the Word of God. You know, those noble Bereans, they heard Paul preach, and they went home and searched the Scriptures to see if these things be so. Christ said, Moses wrote of me, Abraham wasn't saved by laws and duties. Abraham was saved by faith. By faith, Abraham looked to Christ. Abraham saw my day. He saw it and rejoiced, Christ said. When he walked up that mountain with his son, Isaac, Isaac said, where's the lamb? He said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Christ said, he saw my day. David, the Lord is my shepherd. Isaiah, he was wounded for our transgression. Oh, I just wish there's some way that I could challenge men and women, young people, to read the Word of God. And don't read it like a book of Proverbs or good sayings or good luck charm or historical facts. Read it to find Christ and redemption and mercy and grace and the love of God and the forgiveness of sin. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. All right, thirdly, I want you to see the results of faith. The results of faith. Let me read some scriptures. Look at Acts 16:31 says this, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's the results of faith. You believe, you'll be saved. What saved means, preacher? It means delivered. Delivered from the penalty of sin. Delivered from the power of sin, delivered from the curse of sin, delivered from the wrath of God against sin, delivered from the death of sin, delivered. Believe Christ, you'll be delivered. And then John 3:18 says this, he that believeth on the Son is not condemned, never condemned, free from all condemnation. You know, Paul wrote this, there's no judgment to them who are in Christ. We've already been judged. Our sins are put away. Listen to John 1:12. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become sons of God. Think about it. The results of faith. A son of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if a son, then an heir. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Acts 13:39. By him all that believe are justified. I talked about that earlier, innocent of all charges, not guilty. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You know what that is? That's the life of God. That's the life Adam lost in the garden, spiritual life, the life of God. This natural life is temporary, it goes by so quickly, and dust thou art to dust thou shalt return. But to believe on Christ is to be given eternal life, and they'll never die. And Romans 9 says, whosoever believeth on him shall never be ashamed. I'm thankful for that. Never be ashamed. God's not going to let you be ashamed. You're not going to be ashamed at the judgment when all the secret things are brought into revealed, and when all the things he said that had spoken in the darkness and done in secret will be brought out into the open and judged. Not you. Not you. Christ has already borne your shame and guilt on the cross, and you'll never be ashamed. Never be ashamed. The bride of Christ is not going to be ashamed. She's clothed in his holiness. She'll never be ashamed. Romans 4 says this, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And this was written not for his sake alone, to whom righteousness is imputed, but for our sakes, who shall receive it by believing on Christ. How do we receive the righteousness of Abraham? By believing. That's the results of faith. Bold I stand at that great day, for who aught to my charge can lay? Even then shall this be all my plea, that Jesus Christ lived and died for me. I believe, therefore have I spoken. Our Lord said to that centurion one day, he said, can you believe? All things are possible to them that believe. All things. That's the results of faith. Now, last of all, the evidence of faith. I've showed you the object of faith. It's Christ. God has vested all things in Christ. He's put everything in His hands. And the foundation of faith is His Word, God's Word. And the results of faith is life, glory, eternal joy. And last of all, the evidence of faith. Faith is shown by works. The faith that saves is not a dead faith. I beg your pardon. The faith that saves is not disobedient faith. I hear people say, well, you teach salvation by faith alone. You encourage sin and indifference. That's not so. That's not so. God's people have a living faith, a working faith, a loving faith, an obedient faith, a willing faith, a devoted faith, a single faith. It loves Christ. And I'll quote this scripture for you. Listen, for by grace, God's grace, are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that you should walk in them, not out of duty or law, but love. Now, I have two messages on this tape, giving and faith. If you want the tape, send $2. We'll mail it to you. The address will be given to you. Until next week, may God bless you.